Welcome to Prime Video's Culture-Rated Collection. This is the place where Black is the main character, where we don't jump through hoops just to hear our voice and can fall in love with illuminating documentaries like Giannis, The Marvelous Journey.
I'm just a hard worker that's trying to survive.
Enjoy the animated series, The Second Best Hospital in the Galaxy.
All doctors report immediately!
Where we dive into something new like the latest season of Them, The Scare, and the award-winning American Fiction.
Welcome home, baby!
Or add to the experience by buying or renting the biopic of a legend, Bob Marley, One Love.
I want my music to unify people.
And add on channels like Paramount Plus and Stars to bask in nostalgia with Beverly Hills Cop.
This is the cleanest police car I've ever been in my life.
And BMF.
You're about to take over the whole nation.
Explore Prime Video's Culture-Rated Collection and enjoy old school greats and new school hits. Prime Video. Find your happy place. Restrictions apply. See Amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Slash Film Daily for Friday, May 20th, 2022. On today's episode of the show, we're going to be talking about the latest film and TV news. My name is Ben Pearson. I'm an editor at SlashFilm.com, and I am joined on today's episode by Slash Film editor and chief film critic, Chris Evangelista.
Hello.
Chris, it's been a little while since you and I have done just like a pure news episode. Since Peter and Brad did a big Star Wars celebration episode yesterday, there were enough things that happened yesterday and today that I thought it would be worth sort of rounding out the week with a little roundup of some interesting film news. So Warner Brothers Discovery is aiming for 25 theatrical releases per year under David Zaslav, who is the new head of that company. There was a big merger with Warner Brothers and Discovery, and now there's going to be a new approach at Warner Brothers. And basically what this means is we could get as many as 8 more movies in the coming future theatrically released than what we had, you know, like this past year and the year before that, which is, sounds like a big deal. And that's actually like the most that they've released. That would be, if they hit that target number, that will be the most movies that the studio has released in a year since 2015. So that's like a long time ago now. Ryan Scott wrote a great article about this at Slash Film, which you could read, but his sort of big takeaway from this was, this is like a huge win for people who love movies. Did you have any sense of, what was your immediate reaction on hearing this, Chris?
I mean, it really depends on what movies they're going to make. Like if they're just going to make the same franchise shit, I'm not going to get that excited about this. I also like, I read a quote with this guy where he was just like trashing giving Clint Eastwood money for Cry Macho. And I didn't even like that movie, but it's like, really, you're going to complain about like giving Clint Eastwood is like a legend. Like, what are you, what are you complaining about, sir? I don't know. So I'm not as over the moon about this yet. I really depends on what kind of movies they're going to pump out, what kind of, you know, how original they're going to be. And, you know, they're just going to give us Tom and Jerry 2. I really don't, you know, I don't care that much.
Yeah, that's a good point. And Ryan speculates that because Warner Brothers only has a certain number of successful franchises, that, if the studio is going to release 25 movies a year, not all of those are going to be franchise movies. So hopefully that will sort of open things up a little bit more for some more original stuff to sort of slip through the cracks there. But yeah, that's a very good point, because we don't know exactly what David Zaslav's, going back to Warner Brothers in like the 2010s, they were the studio that I most associated with talent relations and like keeping people like Clint Eastwood and Christopher Nolan and Ben Affleck happy and making deals with people and having like, you know, I just don't know what David Zaslav's relationship is going to be with these people. If he cares enough about, like you said with that Cry Macho example, just like sort of almost taking one for the team in order to keep a relationship with a legendary filmmaker, you know, active and working. So yeah, it'll be curious to see what happens there. Already there's been some movement on this because the Wonder Twins movie has been scrapped at HBO Max because they decided like, oh, this movie is going to cost $75 million and just doesn't really make sense to be a streaming movie. And they don't, I guess they don't want to up the budget to make it a theatrical movie. So I'm sorry, Chris, I know you're probably going to spend all weekend, like, you know, pouring one out for the Wonder Twins movie.
I was really looking forward to the Wonder Twins movie.
But yeah, it's interesting. And yeah, I think you're right. I think there's a lot to be potentially excited about here. And I really hope that it goes that way. But yes, if every single one of those slots ends up getting filled with something familiar, I think that will be a bit of a bummer. So, okay, let's move into a new show is I guess in the works at Disney Plus, the very early stages here. But what do we know about this, Chris?
Yes, there is going to be a new Daredevil series at Disney Plus. Matt Corman and Chris Ord are writing it, and if you've never heard of them, they created the show Covert Affairs, which is like, really? That's you're gonna get to write your Daredevil show? But what do I know? We don't really know a whole lot about this. We don't even know if Charlie Cox, who of course played Daredevil on Netflix and had a cameo as Matt Murdock in Spider-Man, Christ, what's that one called? No Way Home. I get them all confused. It's not confirmed whether or not he's returning. I mean, it seems kind of likely that he's returning since, you know, they had him in that cameo and everyone associates him with that role now. But it is interesting that the official report has no mention of him he's returning, which seems to suggest they maybe haven't closed a deal with him yet. Mm-hmm. I don't know. But yeah, so it's in the early stages, but it does seem to be happening.
And I assume that Vincent D'Onofrio would probably be worked into this in some way. I don't think he's listed as being officially a part of the show either, though, right?
Yeah, he's not confirmed either, although he did appear in Hawkeye.
Yes. Okay. So so did you watch the Netflix version of Daredevil,
Chris? I did. I did actually watch it.
Okay. So I tapped out after, I think, one or two episodes or something. I've heard, you know, good things about the show. It wasn't for me at that time in my life or whatever the case was. I actually heard that the second season was better. So what's your overall vibe on like the Netflix version? And then what do you think a Daredevil show might look like on Disney Plus? Do you think there's going to be a big difference there?
Yeah. You know, I kind of like the Netflix version. I do think it eventually ran out of steam, but I kind of liked it for the most part. I don't really know what, a Disney version is going to look like because the Netflix version was pretty damn dark and violent and sexual. And I just can't imagine anything on Disney Plus being like that. Like mm-hmm. even the Marvel shows on there, when they do occasionally get quote unquote dark, they're really not that dark. And the Netflix version was I would say pretty R rated. And I just can't imagine anything R rated on, on Disney Plus. So
yeah.
I have a feeling they're going to, I don't want to say dumb it down, but maybe water it down a bit.
Lighten it up.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's going to be a bummer for a lot of people because I think like you said, the Charlie Cox incarnation of this character has become like the version of Daredevil for an entire generation of people. And for those people to have, what was it? 3 seasons or something of Daredevil, right? Was
3 or 4.
So make it. Like okay. So like multiple seasons of a show to watch and, you know, over and over again and really like fall in love with that character. And then for there to be a huge tonal shift because like, we've talked about before, like the Marvel TV and Marvel, the MCU were kept separate for a long time. They were under like different divisions. And I think Jeff Loeb was running the Marvel TV unit. Now all of that, all those barriers have been knocked down and Kevin Feige like oversees the whole thing. So he, I'm sure, is aware of, you know, what kind of tone that first iteration had. And I'm, yeah, really, really curious to see if he's going to be able to make Disney Plus, you know, like how far you can push the boundaries of what he can get away with on Disney Plus. So, yeah, that's something that I think a lot of people were going to be speculating about for quite some time, because it sounds like this, you know, if no deals are in place yet, we're not going to see the show for at least a year, if not well beyond that. So, okay. So speaking of Marvel, people who've directed Marvel things, WandaVision director Matt Shakman has been named as the director of the first 2 episodes of Godzilla and the Titans, which is the streaming show that is coming to Apple TV Plus that is set in the world of the legendary MonsterVerse, which includes movies like 2014's Godzilla, Kong Skull Island, Godzilla King of the Monsters, and Godzilla versus Kong. So Matt Shakman is a guy we've talked about a lot before, not only in our WandaVision discussions, but he has directed a bunch of episodes of It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. He directed several big episodes of Game of Thrones. He's a really good director. The synopsis of this show is: following the thunderous battle between Godzilla and the Titans that leveled San Francisco and the shocking new reality that monsters are real, the MonsterVerse series will explore one family's journey to uncover its buried secrets and a legacy linking them to the secret organization known as Monarch. So, I don't remember, Chris, if you and I have talked about the existence of the show before, but I think you're kind of a fan of these MonsterVerse movies, or some of them anyway. Am I right about that?
Yeah, I like some of them. I think the first Godzilla in this series, I think it has its moments. Its human characters are awful. Mm-hmm. I thought Kong Skull Island was fun for what it was. I thought King of the Monsters was awful, and I thought Godzilla versus Kong was fun. So yeah, they're sort of like all over the place, but I'm not against them.
Yeah. So the I guess the position on the timeline for this series sounds interesting, because it's like the shocking new reality that monsters are real, and right after the San Francisco battle and all of that, it sounds like this takes place in the immediate aftermath of 2014's Godzilla. So there's a lot. I guess now we're mining the legendary MonsterVerse for, like, we're doing the Obi-Wanification of this film franchise now, which seems like maybe a little bit too much too soon. You know, maybe just continue on with these movies instead of exploring every nook and cranny of, like, is there really enough people out there who really care about, like, the in-between aspects of what happens in between these movies? I guess we'll find out. But what do you think about the potential of a, you know, sort of four quadrant, huge budget type of franchise storytelling like this coming down to the world of streaming, where presumably they're going to have to shell out a lot of money for the CG and yeah, effects and all that kind of stuff. I know that, you know, we've got House of the Dragon and Lord of the Ring, you know, the new Lord of the Rings show coming. So this is not like a new thing by any stretch of the imagination, but with this particular franchise, what do you make of it jumping, you know, from the big screen to the small screen?
Yeah, I have kind of a bad feeling, just because I feel like they're going to have to make it primarily about the human characters. And as I mentioned, the human characters in this franchise have all been kind of boring as hell. I'm hoping they find a way to make them more interesting for the show. But so far, I have not been very impressed with any of the humans. And, you know, it's also going to be weird to just have to see these giant monsters on a smaller screen. I mean, mm-hmm. I feel like they were made for the big screen. And it's just, I guess, just a sign of the times that this is where everything's going to end up at this point, where if it's not Marvel, it's going right to streaming, I guess. That's the future we've built for ourselves. I hope you're all happy out there.
Well, yeah, hopefully, I don't know, maybe David Zaslav's new approach to theatrical at Warner Brothers will help sort of very slowly turn the, what's it called, like the rudder on the giant ship that is, yeah, Hollywood, and maybe help steer the ship in a different direction. But just before we jump off this, Chris Black, who has worked on Star Trek Enterprise and Outcast, is going to be the co-showrunner of this series, along with Matt Fraction, who worked on Hawkeye and wrote, he's a comic book writer primarily, and wrote a really, like, well-respected run of Hawkeye. So yeah, hopefully the script will be worthwhile there, and we won't get saddled with, like, the Aaron Taylor Johnson, Elizabeth Olsen. I mean, those two actors are, like, way better than the material that was given to them in that 2014 movie. So
absolutely. And Bryan Cranston is in like 2 minutes and then he dies. Yeah. And it's like, oh, all right.
Okay. So why don't you take the lead here on our last story of the day?
Yes. Yeah, so there is going to be a new Ocean's 11 movie, or a film in the Ocean's franchise. This is going to be a prequel. It's going to be set in 1960s Europe, and it's going to star Margot Robbie with Jay Roach, who directed Austin Powers directing. And that's really all we know right now. We know it's a prequel. We know it's in the 60s. We know it's Margot Robbie. And I don't know how that works, really. Like, if it's a prequel to the Soderbergh films, it seems weird to set it in the 60s because those characters would all be, like, not born or children in the 60s. Mm-hmm. And I think, like the lesson from the Ocean's franchise is the thing that makes those movies work is Steven Soderbergh. And to hand it over to Jay Roach is, like, really? That's the best you can do? Because, you know, we've been down this road before. There was Ocean's 8, which had a great cast, a really great cast, and was just kind of boring because it was, I don't even remember who directed it. What the hell was that guy's name?
I want to say it was Gary Ross. Is that right?
Yes. It's like, yeah, no, he's no one's idea of like a good, like, we got to get Gary Ross for this. Like, I mean, and like, I interviewed him for the movie and he was a really nice guy, but the movie was boring. I'm sorry. And to take such a cool cast and, you know, a heist movie and make it dull is kind of a huge missed opportunity. And to try it again and then once again without Steven Soderbergh is, it just seems like a mistake to me. Maybe it'll turn out well. I like Margot Robbie. I like the idea of setting it in the 60s and stuff like that, but it just seems like, why not just make a whole new heist movie, I guess, is my question. And I know the answer. It's because everything has to be based on something else now, because again, this is the world we've built for ourselves. But it's like, why not just make a new 60s heist film with Margot Robbie? That would be really cool. Why does it have to be part of the Ocean series?
Yeah, Ocean's 12 kind of had, the original, or not the original, because that was came out in what, the 50s or something, with the Rat Pack. So like the 2001 or whatever year it came out, the Ocean's 11 had that kind of throwback to the Rat Pack vibe. And then Ocean's 12, I thought, kind of had like a 1960s vibe to it, even though it was set in a contemporary period.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to actually go back to 1960s Europe, because that automatically makes things, period pieces in general, automatically are way more expensive because you have to do so much set dressing and all of that kind of stuff. So you bring up a really interesting point about the characters' ages. Like, the thing, when you're saying they're kids, the thing that immediately came to mind is like the opening minutes of The Brothers Bloom, the Ryan Johnson movie, where there's like these two brothers who are, 10 and 12 years old, like pulling cons on a small town or whatever. I doubt it's going to be that, but like that would be kind of hilarious for a whole movie. So
the only thing I can think of is there are like those, like Elliot Gould and Carl Reiner, who's with us. They were part of the, so maybe it would be like they would show up as younger men, but I don't know. It just seems, I'm sure it'll be like, it's just gonna be like, it's me, Carl Reiner, but I'm younger. I don't know.
Like Margot Robbie, she's no stranger to con movies. She was in, what's that one with Will Smith?
Focus.
Yeah. So she's done this kind of thing before and the period piece vibe, I'm like, that part of it sounds cool. I'm sure I would love to see Margot Robbie like strutting around trying to, pull heists in 1960s Europe. But yeah, the fact that this is an Ocean's movie when it kind of sounds like it doesn't necessarily need to be, and then Jay Roach's involvement, like I guess he recently directed her in Bombshell, which I never even bothered to see because I heard such mixed things about.
But get the hell out of here. No one liked Bombshell.
I'm struggling to come away with like a full positive on this. So, maybe
like if it's going to be Oceans, someone has to be Ocean. So maybe Margot Robbie's going to be like George Clooney's mom, or how old is George Clooney's like what? He's like 60 something now.
Yeah. I would guess he's like 62 years old.
So how old was he in the 60s? Was he alive? I have no concept of time.
George Clooney right now is 61 years old. He just turned 61.
He was born in 1961. So yes. If this is set in like the mid 60s, she could have like a young son who is George Clooney.
Yeah.
And at the end, she's like, one day you'll grow up to pull heists, son.
Well, yes, I hopefully that's exactly what the Ocean's 11 preview is. All right, I think that's going to do it for us today. Thank you especially to Ryan and Peter for sort of helping me out while I was out for the podcast schedule this week. Ryan did a great job running solo earlier in the week by himself. So yes, thank you all for listening. You can find more about the stories that we mentioned on today's show at slashfilm.com and linked inside the show notes of this week of today's episode. Slash Film Daily is published every weekday, bringing the most exciting news from the world of movies and TV, as well as deeper dives into the great features you can find on the site. You can subscribe to the show on Apple, Google, Overcast, Spotify, all the popular podcast apps, and send your feedback, questions, comments, concerns, and mailbag topics to us at peter@slashfilm.com. Make sure to leave your name and general geographic location in case we mention your email on the air. Don't forget to rate and review the show on Apple Podcasts. Tell your friends, spread the word. Thanks for listening, and we will talk to you next week.
This is the place where Black is the main character, where we dive into something new like the latest season of Vim, The Scare, and the award-winning American Fiction. Or add to the experience by buying or renting the biopic of a legend, Bob Marley, One Love. And add on channels like Paramount Plus and Stars to bask in nostalgia with Beverly Hills Cop and BMF. Explore Prime Video's culture-rated collection and enjoy old-school greats and new-school hits. Restrictions apply. See Amazon.com/Amazon Prime for details.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.